May we celebrate the feast of St. James the Apostle, one of the two sons of Zebedee that was spoken about here in the Gospel passage we just heard. The other one, of course, is St. John. And it is here, it is given us that it's the mother who asks that the two sit at the right hand of our Lord and the left in his kingdom. According to the other Gospels, the other evangelists actually have the two themselves asking. But in any case, our Lord asks a fundamental question here. He addresses it directly to those two. Can you drink the chalice I am going to drink? Now, in order to understand this question, first we have to understand that word chalice, which is the same word we use to describe the cup we use at the sacrifice of the Mass, the same word used in the formula for the consecration of the precious blood. This is the chalice of my blood. That word chalice comes from an ancient Hebrew word that means suffering. So it's something much more than a simple cup. Our Lord is asking, can you undertake the suffering that I'm going to take? Can you undertake my passion and death? And they respond, I imagine, quite spontaneously, we can. Not unlike more than 25 years ago when my mother, just before I was about to enter religious life, and asked me that same question. Actually, she prepped me. She said, can I ask you a bombshell of a question? And then she asked the question, are you ready to be a martyr? And I'm thinking, that's still part of the prepping. So I just spontaneously answered, yes, I can. Yes, I am. Then I thought for a moment, I realized that was the bombshell of a question. That was the question. And my thought was, well, if this is what God is calling me to, then yes. And only a short time later, after I entered, that would be one of the first questions I would heard from confreres. Are you ready to be a martyr? And in fact, I must confess, I heard actually by one of my advisors, a spiritual advisor with whom I was talking when I was first seeking entrance into the religious life. And actually, I was looking into the possibility of entering into the congregation to which he belonged at the time. And that was what he pointed out to me. Are you ready? He so noted how intense I was. He mentioned how intense I was. Well, you know, you've got to be ready to be laid down on the cross and let them pound those nails in, just like they did with our Lord. Well, the whole thing was martyrdom. And in fact, St. James, who we celebrate today, was the first of the apostles to be martyred. And that martyrdom is recounted in the Acts of the Apostles. He's the one Herod took and beheaded. So, it brings to mind a fundamental question. Are we all ready for martyrdom? Are we ready to make that sacrifice? I also must admit that later on, my mother qualified that question. She recalled her asking that question, if I was ready to be a martyr. And she qualified, said, well, you know, there's more than one kind of martyrdom. And there is. Because there's the martyrdom of blood, the red martyrdom of blood, actually shedding your blood, a wonderful grace if we're given to it, if it's given us. But there's also the martyrdom of love, called the white martyrdom, the martyrdom of love. And that's that daily giving ourselves back to God, little by little, every day. Growing in that love for Him, letting ourselves be consumed with His love. And that too is a chalice. That too will be a giving up of our lives. That too requires sacrifice. So one way or another, you understand, we're all called to a certain way. One way or another, we're called to martyrdom. One way or another. Martyrdom, you understand, is a Greek word that means witness. We're all called to witness one way or another. And it will require sacrifice. Not something to be afraid of. Not something to run from. but something to embrace. And all of the saints did. Those who faced actual martyrdom, they all embraced it, longed for it. And it brought them great joy because it was bringing them closer to Christ, whom they loved, and it made them grow in that love. Now we must also notice here something else that our Lord brings out at the very end here, after the jealousy of the other apostles, the envy of the other apostles. And our Lord says, now you can't be lording it over, like the Gentiles, as he points out. We can't be lording it over everyone. We have a high position of responsibility, fine. But it's not to lord it over, not to dominate. Which literally means the same thing. Not to dominate, but to serve. We have to be the servants. Those who have responsibility, we are serving the others. And the higher your responsibility, the more you're called to serve, the more you are to serve. Okay? We might think of, we can go all the way up, let's for a moment look at the Pope. He has the highest responsibility in the church than any, of any other. All right? He's responsible for all of the souls in the church, all over the world. Do you know one of his titles is the servant of the servants of God? He is called to serve. It is a call to serve. So that's the other point our Lord is making. We can't lord it over, dominate, show how powerful we are. That's not what we're to do. We are to serve. We should be reaching out to everyone else, serving those over whom we have authority. You see, we are to be the least. That's what our Lord wants us to be. The lower we make ourselves, the more we practice humility, the higher our place in heaven, the closer we are to God. And that's the call we have. Again, to repeat, it will require sacrifice. It's not easy to give up our own wills. Not easy to give up of ourselves. But yet that's exactly what we are called to do. And the more we do, starting right now, the easier it is too. The closer we are to that kingdom. And then it won't make any difference what place we have. All that's going to be, what's all that matters is that we are close to God. Let us always look for that then, every day in our lives, simply to be close to God. Praise be Jesus and Mary.